yo, yo, what up, what up? Good morning, GM, GM, or marhaba, habibi, like we say in Dubai. I gotta, you know, the hat is on right now. No, the kafiyeh stays on, baby. The kafiyeh is on right now. I got my co-host in the house, Obi. What's up? Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm exhausted, a little sick. Definitely caught a little cold in Paris. I'm on an hour and a half of sleep. And I can't wait to actually go pass out after this. That's how I'm doing. That's how I'm doing, Ovi. The voice is definitely a little shut right now. But you know what? We're here. That's all that matters, is that we're here. Made it to Dubai. Flew with a red eye from Paris. Fun flight, but too short. You know what? Red eye flights that are 6 hours long, Ovi, are too short.
Yeah, 6 hours are too short because you can't sleep. I agree with that. You have to eat before and then just sleep straight away if you want to get a proper sleep.
You have to eat before, sleep before. Yeah. No. They wake you up like 45 minutes before you land. You can't really sleep. And so you end up, so I slept an hour and a half because I wanted to enjoy the flight. It was my first time flying with Emirates. I got to say, dude, shout out to the UAE. Shout out to the UAE. Shout out to the Emiratis. Y'all know how to do luxury. Y'all, I got to give it to y'all. I used to dream of flying Emirates. I used to post about this shit on my Good Life account when I was like 15 years old. Yesterday, I did it, Ovi. Whoa. Have you done it, the first class Emirates before? I'm sure you have.
No. I haven't flown much with Emirates, really.
It's my first time. I mean, I've never been to Dubai. Actually, it's my first time in the Middle East. Wow. You know, as much as I feel close to my people when I'm in France, because, you know, the French comes out, when I'm here, I feel even closer to my people. You know, I'm across the water from my people. Which is, one of the things we're probably going to talk about today, actually, because I forget that the markets tanked this weekend, and so we didn't have a show since. It was the whole situation again. Like when something happens on a weekend, it feels like it was 10 years ago. I don't know if you realize that, but it's wild. But it was this weekend that the market literally went to zero. Go figure. Go figure. So, I'm trying to connect to my Google Sheet for FOMO Hour, and I guess I was logged out. So today on the show, so we're going to talk about that, but today on the show, today, I'm assuming markets, crypto, macro, all that good stuff. Maybe we might do a little bit of geopolitics, I guess, today, Ovi. We got also Hong Kong ETFs. Let's fucking go. Big announcement came in, actually, I think this morning here. And it's funny because it pumped pretty hard. And as soon as America woke up, it started selling off. So you know what, Ovi? This whole like Euro pours joke is starting to, like, I think Americans are starting to take the throne here. I think Americans are starting to.
It's last few weeks, man. Always sells off in U.S. market, so it's definitely the burgers selling right now.
It's definitely the burgers selling right now because Bitcoin's literally about to go under $65,000 as I'm talking to you. Yet I'm pretty sure there was $67,000 when I woke up this morning in Dubai. And the ETF news came out. So anyways, we're going to be talking about that. As usual, report on memes, alts, memes, and dreams. Quick pass and towards the NFTs. And last but not least, we'll be joined by Emerge. Can't wait to chat with her. I mean, she's awesome. We've seen the Emerge on Ovi. He's worn the sweater a bunch of times. Not because he was asked to do it, because he actually fucked with it. He said it on the timeline on the show multiple times. So I can't wait, actually, to talk to the person behind Emerge. And I saw that Danny was wearing the sweater. I saw Batsoup wearing the sweater. I saw it all over New York City, actually. I have mine at home. It's in Montreal. Can't wait to get to it. But we're going to be joined by one of our partners on the show, actually, Emerge. So really, really excited. And then last but not least, this show is presented by Film.io. And, well, that was the last time we were together, actually, Fairside Network. That was quite the show with literally an ex-FBI agent from Naxos that partnered with Fairside Network that apparently was busted, Russ Albright. And then you had a bunch of free Russ comments in the chat, you know, free Russ for real. But that was something else. That was something else for the history book. So we'll cover that on Wednesday. And as usual, just so y'all know, we are live on both audio and video. Just quick check. How is my audio? Is my audio coming out good?
Yeah. Sound loud and clear to me. Sound loud and clear to me.
Perfect. 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 Man, it's so weird at this stage, OV, like the time zones. I can't anymore. Now I'm hosting this at 6:30 p.m. I'm so lost. I don't know why I am. it's become a little confusing. And I think Mando, so one more day without Doug Jesus. I think Doug Jesus was meant to be out today, but he's got some things to do. He's got places to be. He's got people to see. But, you know, at least he's quacking. At least he's quacking. You know, a check price, good price on that. And I'm sure we're going to talk about it when we cover memes. But without further ado, what do we get right into and hear from Ovi about the market?
Daily Market Report. Brought to you by Rug Radio. Joseph, what's the word?
Hey guys, yes, it's a bit of a weird one, you know, because the market was trading pretty weak on Friday, I think before the whole Iran-Israel thing kicked off. And then obviously we had a bit of a shit show over the weekend, but traditional markets were closed. You know, stocks were actually opening the week higher. Stocks are 0.25, 0.3% higher. I guess, like, you know, initially when people get worried about things like world wars, etc., you could have a knee-jerk move lower in risk assets because of the uncertainty. But, you know, war was actually not really necessarily that bad for equities. And so we're actually seeing like a small rally, which is interesting because stocks really traded like garbage for most of last week. We're not seeing an interest rate rally at all. We're actually seeing interest rates higher today, 10 years at 4.62%. And I guess the thought process there maybe is, you know, if this geopolitical stuff gets bad, it's probably going to result in the price of oil going a lot higher, which is not great for the current inflation rhetoric. So I think 10-year interest rates, all interest rates across the curve actually are going a lot higher. Weirdly, oil is actually lower on the day, so I don't really know like how those two things add up, but it just feels like the market's a bit confused at the moment. In terms of crypto, it was a shit show over the weekend. Honestly, like, I think that weekend move was a massive like liquidity cascade. We've been looking at funding rates for a while, and it's like, oh, funding so low. But remember, that doesn't necessarily mean or dictate that positioning is small, because you could have loads of people with a ton of leverage longs, and if the net positioning is long, it would mean funding is very high. But you could also have a ton of people putting on leverage shorts, and then if the net positioning is neutral, then funding will also be neutral, but you can still have big positioning on both sides. And you know, there's been a lot of talk, and I think a few different conversations I've had, people have mentioned that a lot of the TradFi guys are putting on this trade where they're long Bitcoin ETS versus being short the perps, and they're making the funding rate as an arb in between. So there is like actually huge interest, I think, to short perps versus being long spot or ETFs or whatever, or however they can.
Is that like the Ether that Manu talks about?
Yeah, pretty much like Athena. It's very similar to what Athena does. Yeah. And so I think that's the main reason why. It's probably Athena that's actually the other side of that as well, to be honest with you. But like, yeah, that's the thing that's kind of kept funding rates very neutral and made that market more efficient. But I think a lot of people just assume that it means leverage is low, but it's not. Leverage is actually very high. And we had almost $1 billion of liquidations across crypto on Saturday. I think it was about 800 million. So, you know, obviously like it does mean leverage has been very high. And so I think like, yeah, the weekend headlines were bad, but stocks being small higher today should show you and tell you that it's not like a huge risk asset concern at this stage. And I really think someone's just like, fuck it, we see leverage is high, there's some bad news over the weekend, let's just fucking, you know, jam this thing lower and make some money on it. And especially people who have that basis trade on, they would have done well on that trade because all these perps were a lot lower, the crypto's a lot lower than I'm sure like this, the whatever they had on the other side would have held up, you know, maybe a little bit better or so. I'm not really sure, but I think that's kind of what happened. So, you know, theoretically on paper, positioning should be a lot cleaner now, but you can actually see OIs ticking up again. Like there's a good website called coinalyze.com,
yeah, it's great.
Or coinalyze.net, and it shows you all the OI changes in the last 24 hours. And so like Bitcoin OI is up 2%, Ether OI is up 5%, Sol OI is up 8%, You know, some of these other altcoins are up 10, 11, 12, 13%. So OI is ticking back up, which shows you there is some more leverage again in the system. And so, yeah, I feel a little bit cautious. I think, you know, I still think we're going to chop around here. And as when leverage gets really high, then you can get those big moves like we got over the weekend. But I do think that will prove to be, to have been a great buying opportunity that weekend. You know, obviously GCR came back to tweet about that, having not tweeted for about a year. And we'll see what happens for the rest of this week. ETFs have been quiet, you know, like the Friday, there was like a small outflow, I think, of like 50 million or something like that. So ETF volumes and numbers have been very low and small.
Wasn't the net outflow negative? Inflow negative? Was it negative last week? Wasn't that?
Yeah, it was negative. The net for the week, I think, was maybe, it's very flat, like small negative or small positive. I'm not really sure. But yeah, I think it's, until that number becomes larger and more consistent, showing a trend, I think it's not going to impact prices too much here. And so we'll see what happens in the next few days. I mean, I feel quietly bullish, but I'm just always bullish anyway. I'm not really sure what happens in the next few days, but I definitely wouldn't have leverage here. There's no need to have leverage, I think, because prices are, you know, altcoins are down 50%. So there's a much higher return profile for them now here, and you don't need to like chase leverage to make those returns. So I would definitely stay in spots. I like alts here, and yeah, I think things could be interesting in the next few days and weeks. But I do think people will look back on that dip over the weekend later in this year and think, man, that was like, I wish I bought then. You know, that was a great dip to buy.
All right, dude, let's talk about the weekend, right? Like, I was just showing some charts. We had Bitcoin go all the way down. Some people told me it wicked down even to like 56K. I mean, here I'm seeing 60. I don't know if you saw anyone buying at 56K, but it was here it says 60. Ethereum went all the way down to 2847. And yes, Solana, dude, Solana went down to $115, Ovi. I mean, let's talk about this for a second, because I know it was 2 nights ago? Was it Saturday? It was Saturday night? Friday night? Saturday night? The whole Iran and Israel thing? Was it Friday night? I don't even remember. This is how crazy this space is. Like, we're fed so much information at all times that you don't even remember what's going on. And the market just decides to tank completely. I mean, I thought my Bitcoin was store of value in the time of war, Ovi. I guess I thought wrong. Because not only did gold turbo nuke on Friday, I saw that obviously Bitcoin went crazy. And anyone who had some leverage got completely wiped out. I mean, shout out to you. You know, we were talking on the show about leverage and stuff. And like, yeah, maybe we just don't crank that leverage up. So, you know, buying spot yet again appears to be comfy. But let me tell you about my Saturday night, OSF. it was Bitcoin's ETH and Solana chart in front of my computer while I had CNN and BBC World News on the TV. I don't know why. I just love pain. And it was really painful listening to traditional media talk about what's going on in the area. As a matter of fact, they were getting the news like 30 minutes after X. Like, you would get, oh, Iran sent ballistic missiles, and fucking, like, you'd see that on Twitter and like, oh, maybe it's not real. And then you have BBC and CNN reporting on it. That shit was absolutely crazy. Obviously, right on time where I have to fly to the Middle East. So, man, that's also why I'm tired. It was that the night before, and then flying here, 1 hour of sleep. It was definitely something. No wonder I'm sick. Fuck. Sorry, y'all. I'm a little slow today. I could fall asleep here. So that was crazy. Question for you. Actually, Wiz hosted quite a good spaces that night. Shout out to Joy on how to trade the war. What are some, you know, I guess what was your reaction when all things happened? I saw you tweeted the other day that you didn't realize that WIF went all the way down to 180. Everything got decimated. I mean, what was your immediate reaction to everything?
But I was surprised that things dropped so much, because I think I was like, why is stuff dropping so much? Like, if there's no funding so low, there's no leverage. And then I looked at it more closely, and that's when I realized actually there was probably a lot of leverage. So with that in mind, it's less like, if there was no leverage, I would have been confused, because I've been like, you know, who the hell is like having to sell here? Like everyone's in spot right now. Like, why is there such aggressive price action? But knowing that there was leverage, I think explains a bit more. And you know, like crypto is so manipulated. People see these numbers; they're all public, and they can just like manipulate it to their advantage. So I think, like for me, I just don't think people panic sold because of that headline. I think that headline came. Someone was like, "Great!" Like someone who was short was like, "Great, we can just like wipe these people out and create some panic." And that's what happened, I think. And so for me, it was like, I definitely would have bought some stuff. Like I, you know, Whiff got back to levels where I last sold it.
Crazy.
And I just wasn't at my computer and stuff, so I couldn't really transact on it. But I would have definitely bought that back. I would have converted my Sol back into Whiff at that, at those levels for sure. I think Sol hit 115. That would have been a great buy.
Crazy.
Really some good levels. But you have to, I mean, you have to have been at the computer and just instantly traded it. And even then, like networks have been so busy recently, I don't know what you could have actually executed without having limit orders in place. And, you know, I don't know how much of the limit orders got filled, etc. So it's like, it's one thing to say, oh, I would have bought this then, but it's another thing to be like, would it have even been possible? So
it was wild, dude. I was watching this whole shit like, Jesus Christ, like what the fuck is going on? I mean, you hate to see this, right? Obviously these headlines are not comfortable to read for anyone, I think, but especially people affected. And then on top of that, like we're so married to the markets in this industry, right? In space, like all of us, our listeners, you, me, Mando, right? Like everyone around us, that you're just watching everything happening. You kind of don't know what to do. I actually texted Mando. I was like, so what am I supposed to do right now? And he's like, just do nothing. I was like, okay, cool, bad. Like, you know, even I had the second of doubt over you. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was like, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that listening to us, like, because it's not like we're used to like reading a headline like that, right? Like, you know, and also, of course, media loves to make it super sensationalist, right? They love to like add on top of it. I think that was like Mario's Olympics the other night. Like, that was his Oscars. Like, that's the type of stuff that, you know, the headlines happens, he loves seeing, right? So you have these spaces running 24/7, scaring shit out of people as well on top of that. So that doesn't help. And then news coming left and right. Some fake, some real, some a little inaccurate, you know, some truth to it, some lies to it. So it's always a lot, but seems like, you know, the market bounced on that. With Bitcoin went as high as 67,000. Whiff was above $3 for a hot second. Solana went back up to 155-ish. I don't know. ETH was above 3,200, almost 3,300. So the market bounced immediately on top of that. But most importantly, actually, you know, is it fair to say, do you think that GCR saved our bags? I mean, GCR came in. I mean, this was one of those tweets that reminded me of Kobe's tweet. You know that famous Kobe tweet?
Yeah. Well,
I wasn't around. That famous Kobe tweet was like, I will long for my family, one long for Satoshi. I mean, that's one of those tweets. So GCR came out of retirement to tweet, if you've been sidelined, believe this is a good opportunity to scale into high conviction tokens. If you're fully invested, just survive. Hold your spot position, not capitulate. Someone once said, liquidations are a forced transfer of wealth from traders who need leverage to wealthy spot buyers. I was enjoying retirement from social media, but don't want to see my brothers get shaken out when the future is still so bright. I mean, that was a moment when that came out. I think you were the first person to send that to us. You were on that one. You must.
I was just scrolling and it popped up on my feed. I was like, whoa.
But is it crazy to you or not that one person had so much power at that moment? Because it's fair to say that tweet bounced the whole market, right? Is it fair to attribute that to him?
Yeah, it is. It's mental when you think about it, really, because, I mean, he only has, like, I say only, but he has 250,000 followers. Like, there are tons of crypto accounts that have more followers than that, right? All the scam accounts have, like, now he's 366, but he was definitely, like, 250 when I checked back then. And so it's pretty incredible that someone like that, and it's, when he posted it, it was, like, immediately, like, 2,000 likes in a few seconds.
Oh, it's
and like
52k likes now.
Yeah, it's just crazy. 8 million views. Like, it's pretty incredible for someone to have that big an impact on crypto. But I think it just goes to show like how much power you can have as an individual person if you are a good trader and you make big and bold and correct decisions. Number one, number two, just how small crypto still is. Like, we talk about this all the time, but it's like, you know, total crypto market cap is like almost $2 trillion. It's less than Amazon or whatever, like, or, you know, I don't know what those numbers look like now. I haven't checked for a while, but it's, you know, if you think about how big the total stock market is versus the size of the total crypto market cap, it's tiny. So, and it's so retail driven as well, like a lot of money is just sitting there being held, like a lot of Bitcoin just won't be moving right now, but you know, the price action all comes from like retail who are all on crypto Twitter. So it's crazy, but it just shows you like how this market can really be pushed around, and it kind of shows you why it does get pushed around a lot, to be honest with you.
This tweet's crazy. This must have been how those dudes in the Bible felt like when the angels pulled up saying, have no fear. There's some good tweets, man. The timeline never disappoints. That was some of the most I have to say that was one of the most intense nights of my life. Like, that was insane. Like, watching my portfolio nuke seven figures, like that. And then, like, some of the team of Rugradio Decrypt was here in Dubai. Obviously, like, by the way, like, here, it feels like nothing ever happened for what it's worth. Like, once you're here, like, it's mostly the West people freaking out, right? I had my girlfriend's parents freaking out. My mom freaking out. The team had freaking out, because obviously we have also like Israelis on the team, Jewish people on the team. We have people over here on the team. We have like four events this week, Ovi. We're media partners and or Rugradio events, six events this week. Okay. And I'm here like, yo, what the fuck am I going to do? There's airspace closing the same night and everything. At the same time, you see your whole stuff turbo nuking. You're like, what am I doing? Like, it was a really weird night. It was really weird. But the next morning, it seems like, you know, things were better. It seems like so, at the moment, there's somewhat of a de-escalation in the region. And listen, I just got here today, and it's honestly is unfelt. Anyways, speaking of the region, speaking of Bitcoin, speaking of prices, huge news came out earlier this morning. So like really, really late in America, or very, very early, however you want to put it, of the ETFs being cleared in Hong Kong. So Hong Kong clears spot ETF application. The Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission approved on Monday applications from leading financial institutions, including China Asset Management, Bosera Capital, and Hashkey Capital Limited, for the launch of Bitcoin and Ethereum spot ETFs. What do we talk about, Ovi? We were literally saying, is Hong Kong going to get the ETH ETFs before America? Last week.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? Like, they've seen how successful the Bitcoin ETF has been here, and
crazy.
Going to get the Bitcoin ETF there. But what's interesting is also having an ETH ETF in Hong Kong as well, which is very interesting. So I'm curious to see. I have no concept of like what these numbers would look like, what these flow numbers would look like. I guess, yeah, here you go, Eric's, you know.
Yeah.
Hong Kong ETF market is tiny. Yeah, there you go. So I don't know how much, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
500 million, yeah. So it's not really like a huge number, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but like, question. He says the ETFs are tiny, right? Which, I mean, he knows better about, and you probably know more about as well yourself, like having traded in the market. But it's still an on-ramp to acquiring more Bitcoin and more ETH here, right? Well, not here, but, you know, in China or in Hong Kong, I'm sorry. But, you know, there's going to be a Chinese bank that's going to be involved in whatever. It does say that Chinese local cannot buy these, but, you know, a lot of people have vehicles through Hong Kong companies and stuff like that. They have Singaporean companies, they have companies all around the world. Don't you think that this is actually, I mean, the headline stuff's pretty big. Don't you think this is bigger than just numbers on the scoreboard here?
Not really, no. Like, you already have an ETF approval.
A bullish narrative.
You already have an ETF approval, and it's great that they're doing ETH, but unless there's like real numbers behind it, I don't think like it's really going to be that threatening. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's, you know, they say the ETF market in Asia is small, but like the retail market in Asia is massive, and it's also, they also have a very speculative retail consumer base, if you like the US does, which Europe doesn't really have as much. So maybe that will actually, you know, maybe they'll see more flow than like Eric is giving them credit for. But it also feels like people in Asia are also very already like very crypto native, you know. So compared to,
I mean, all the exchanges, right? The big ones are all here.
Yeah, like most, yeah, exactly.
If you look at like the market that, you know, Binance, Bybit, OKX, Bullish, you know, KuCoin, all these Occupy in the Middle East, in not Middle East, sorry, in Asia. I mean, it's most of the market share, right? I don't have the exact numbers, but I know it's like a baguette, et cetera. It's one of the largest portions. Wow, Bitcoin is actually going sub 64K here. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's going on?
Burgers are selling. Yeah, look at that. I mean,
well,
look at that.
I was, one thing I would have been worried about today would have been the ETF numbers today after what happened at the weekend. That's maybe spooked some people. So,
yeah, maybe that spooked some people. But we'll see. I mean, it's just crazy. Look, we're clearly not decoupled yet, right? We clearly don't have that narrative, full narrative of that store value just yet. Clearly, like, this is the proof. Proof is in the pudding here. When it comes to that. So that was another. That's a big deal. Listen, I would pay serious attention. I mean, I've been, you know, after my trip in Hong Kong, and the many conversations I've had again in Paris. I met with a few people that, you know, worked at pretty large companies and institutions in Hong Kong, and some people ran some really, really large funds over there. Like, they're extremely bullish. Like, they're fucking, like, they're super turbo bullish on the ecosystem, the market, etc. So there we go. We broke under $64,000. There we go again. Oh shit. Here we go again. And just a reminder, the halving is now in 5 days and the Solana fix is tomorrow. So it seems like we're going to be decongested tomorrow. Hopefully I am decongested tomorrow as well alongside Solana. I'm not going to lie. It would help me a lot. I feel like in honor of Solana, just to be you know, loyal to my Solana bags, my face is congested. You know, just so, you know, I'm going to have a fix. So I'm going to have to update my hardware to stay in tune with Solana. But anyway, so yeah, Solana's 143 and ETH31. Anyways, so in other news, let me see what else we had here. And I see we have the homegirl Mini Muse in the studio. We're gonna bring you up in a minute here. So we have the fix coming up for the congestion. You have the UK to introduce stablecoin staking rules, dude. We talked about UK last week. I don't know what the hell is going on over there, Ovi, but I think we need to have you go and talk to Rishi here. Like, you, I think you need to get involved. I think we need Ovi to go and talk to Rishi Sunak here and see what's up. And last but not least, anyways, it was memes, NFTs, alts, dreams. I mean, the alts we already talked about quite a bit. I mean, complete, like, nuke all across the board, right? With a lot of memes bouncing back pretty strongly. Especially Mando's duck, which seems to be bringing. I can't wait to have Mando back on the show. Honestly, I want to talk to him about his duck and his experience so far. Seems like he's having a good time. Mando seems to really be having a good time, Ovi. Looks like he's having fun.
He's busy. Sure.
He's busy. Having fun quacking around. On the NFTs, man. It's again. Again, like, it's been all ordinals about Bitcoin. That's heavily been leading the narrative and whatnot. So that goes without saying. And for the first time today, Ovi, unless you saw, but Bored Apes are trading in one digit ETH. You had Bored Apes sell for as low as nine wow. Something. How low are we going? How low do you think Bored Apes can go here? It's pretty bad.
I don't know, like, it just, I mean, ETH NFTs overall are just.
No, it's your fault. Through Mando. Through Mando. It's you guys. You guys did that. Let's open up DGens. There are 10.18, but few were. How low do you think Bored Apes can go? Seriously, like, what do you think? Do you think they'll go to like 3 fucking ETH or something? Or do you think like there's going to be a bottom at some point?
I don't know.
That's a very tricky question to ask someone on live recorded.
Yeah, space. I really don't know. Like, it feels like they can keep going lower because, you know, if you have an ape and you're a crypto degen and you're seeing that people are like making money on meme coins or other things, you know, 10 ETH is still whatever it is, like 31K, 32K. So in your head, if you're just like, you know, if you're someone who's not married to your ape, you could be like, well, I could just gamble with this and maybe make some money back. And then buy back the ape if you want to. I don't know, but it's a tough one. It's a tough one to just be stuck in depreciating assets when it's a market where everything is going higher.
Yeah,
and I think we spoke about this like
many times.
Spoke about this a few weeks ago. I think when apes were like 17 or 18 ETH, and we're just like, you know, at this point, if it's a raging bull market and lots of things are going up, you can, you know, probably close your eyes and click on something and it will go up. And so if you're in something back holding that's going something that's going lower, you just, you know, cut your losses and move to something else. And you know, if you're owning right for a different reason, because you like utility or like the brand or like the stuff that they're doing and like Other Side and Ape Fest and that kind of stuff, that's a different reason. But if you're in it for a trade or if you're in it to like make money, and you know, maybe they will bring things that will cause them to do really well and make money. I'm not saying that's not a possibility, and it probably will happen at some point in time, but it's really tough in this market to, I think, just hold things that are underperforming, that are assets from a previous cycle, just on a, you know, high level in terms of the crypto world. It's really hard to like run those things, I think, when there are just so many things that are going higher and you just need to buy it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's really wild. Meanwhile, again, man, Ordinals. I mean, I was showing the DGEN's dashboard, DGEN's.finance. You can check it out. That's what I show every day on the show, tool that Ovi Mando and their team have built, which is pretty good. But in the meanwhile, the big that you have you know, Ordinals that are up, and Bitcoin Puppets 0.47, Node Monkeys 0.47, Ordinals Max Fees also. Actually, these had a great tweet saying that there's three bets right now on Bitcoin that are really good. And they're similar price, right? You have Node Monkeys, Bitcoin Puppets, and OMB, which are actually three with very strong teams, communities, and that are all looking like they could go like higher. And so you're looking at the rest of the market in terms of NFTs across all chains, like, well, shit, like, where do I park my money and what do I think I can make money? And so I don't blame people. Even the Quantum Cats also got swept up doing the 0.4. So that's four of them, Ovi, that are around 0.4, 0.45 Bitcoin that they're looking good. They're looking good, you know? And so again, Bitcoin taking narrative, and the halving this weekend, Saturday. It looks like we're looking like Saturday. I know it keeps on changing, right? But, you know, we're looking like Saturday for the halving. So that's gonna go pretty well. We'll make halving, post halving predictions when we have Mando on the show. But start thinking about it. Ovi. Start thinking about it. Everyone should start thinking about your post halving predictions. But it's gonna be very, very interesting as runes go live. I can't wait. I picked up a couple of rune nodes this morning because on the show the other day I said that, you know, I like Node Monkeys. I like the rune nodes. The rune pops worked well with Node Monkeys. I picked up a couple of rune nodes just to see. I really like the runes. I know I talk about them too much on the show, but I like them a lot. You know, I like them a lot. You know, there's a few things I like a lot right now. It's pups, ducks, and runes. You know, so listen, I like to think that those are the right places to be in at the moment. But anyways.